Well, the diplomatic desertion of Syria continues, with Arab Gulf states following the US lead and now recalling their diplomats. France and Britain have also recalled their ambassadors, all in protest against the ongoing violence, with Syrian government forces continuing to shell the city of Homs. Overnight, the Russian foreign minister met with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. The result was a pledge by the Syrian president to cooperate with, quote, any efforts towards stability. A short time ago, I spoke with Sami Ibrahim. He's a human rights activist who lives in Homs. He says Russia and China have given Syria the green light to continue the violence.
This green light from Russia and China to continue us killing, and the Al-Assad regime actually get this green light and reflect it on the ground. 285 persons have been killed by Al-Assad regime yesterday, 128. Today, till the moment which I am speaking with you, there is 27 persons have been killed in Syria.
That's Sami Ibrahim speaking with us there earlier this morning from Homs, and we'll hear more from Sami. We'll hear that interview after 7:30 this morning. For now, though, let's cross to London and get some insight into the Russian foreign minister's visit to Syria. Alexander Nekrasov is a former advisor to the Kremlin. Alexander, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning.
Alexander, you heard what Sami Ibrahim said there about Russia. Has Moscow given the green light for further killing in Syria by not backing that UN resolution?
Well, I think that Moscow and Beijing actually prevented a total catastrophe in Syria, because if they would have voted on this resolution, President Assad would have felt completely boxed in and desperate, basically, for anything. We saw it happening in Libya with Gaddafi. When he realized that Russia is no longer supporting him, he started killing his people indiscriminately. So I think, in a sense, that prevented a mass killing of civilians in Syria. Obviously, Russia wants diplomacy to have another go, and I know for sure that Sergei Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, he asked the Security Council specifically to postpone the vote on this resolution until he goes and sees President Assad. Unfortunately, it didn't happen.
Well, nevertheless, Sergei Lavrov did go and see President Assad overnight. He was initially said to be carrying concrete proposals. I don't think we've heard much of those. What do you think it was that Sergei Lavrov suggested or asked from President Assad?
Well, I think that he specifically said before his trip that he's not going to ask him to stand down. He said, it's not my job to organize a regime change in Syria or any other country. I suspect what the conversation was about is what sort of concessions President Assad can make in order to at least stop this violence. President Assad did say that he's prepared to hold a referendum on the new constitution and hold elections, but I don't think this will work now. Technically, what we're witnessing is another disastrous situation when the international community in the 21st century, in our supposedly civilized world, again shows a total inability to sort out a crisis.
But Alexander Nekrasov, not much shine of a civilized world going on in the city of Homs at the moment. I mean, our eyewitness, Sami Ibrahim, who I spoke to earlier, described government tanks coming in and shelling people, shelling field hospitals. I mean, what about a good place to start, and Russia demanding that they stop the violence, stop shelling their citizens?
We are talking about what Russia and China attempted to do. It's very difficult to stop a dictatorship, a regime like Assad's regime, to fight with his own people. It's not like it will stop immediately. There was an attempt made to stop it, and obviously Sergei Lavrov passed that message to President Assad, saying to him that this violence has to stop. Because the point is that Russia does not want the massacre to continue in Syria, and that is that is an important thing to understand, because what we are hearing now because of that resolution is Russia is being accused of basically encouraging more people to get killed. And that is a wrong approach completely.
Except, I mean, you say that if the UN resolution had gone through, President Assad would have felt boxed in and therefore would have intensified the violence. Now, reports from Homs suggest that the violence has intensified anyway since the weekend, since that UN resolution. Something like over 100 people have been killed in the last 3 to 5 days.
Yes, but the point I'm making is that Russia and China, obviously, they tried to do what they could. And by the way, if you look at the text of that draft resolution, it was unenforceable. It was impossible to enforce it simply because it gave very strict timetable for the Syrian regime, saying in 3 weeks, basically, you need to stop everything, pull your troops out of everywhere, and so on. That was impossible to achieve. And this document had to be redone and rewritten. So that is something that we should keep in mind. And again, what I'm saying here is that Russia and China tried to do their best. You can't accuse them by saying that they wanted to encourage Assad to continue killing his own people. And Sergei Lavrov in Munich several days ago said that Russia is not planning to keep Assad in power. That is not the aim of Russia. He said the aim of Russia is to stop the killing of people in Syria. And if we go back and look at what happened in Libya, unfortunately, many thousands of people died because the situation just simply got out of control, and a mad dictator, desperate dictator, started basically killing his people indiscriminately. If Assad decides to continue what he's doing, it's not Russia's or China's fault. And another point which is very important is that there are accusations of Russia that it's still supplying Assad with weapons that are used against civilians. No, it's not the case. The systems that were supplied to Assad were anti-aircraft and anti-ship systems. You can't use these systems against civilians.
Okay. Alexander Nekrasov, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you very much.
Alexander Nekrasov is a former advisor to the Kremlin, joining us there from London. I must say the latest reports, the wire copy, suggests that the tanks moving into Homs are Russian-made tanks. But I guess there's no sense of when they were delivered to Syria